Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the legendary lost Blue Bucket Gold Mine. Group of kids from a lost wagon train found it. Strange yellow rocks that turned out to be gold. Miners have been looking for the kids' play spot ever since. The smart money is on it just being a legend. But you know what? We really don't know. This gold might still be out there somewhere. This story was first published on April 19th, 2009, under the headline, Is Legendary Blue Bucket Mine Still Out There in the Oregon Mountains? Here we go. Somewhere in the mountains of northeast Oregon, a huge deposit of gold is still sitting quietly, waiting to be discovered. Or so they say. It's known as the Lost Blue Bucket Mine, and it's one of the most important pieces of Oregon folklore we've got. Here's the story. In 1845, Stephen Meek, the brother of Oregon legend Joe Meek, convinced a bunch of Oregon Trail pioneers in Idaho that he could guide them across the Cascades without going through the dangerous rapids on the Columbia, that he could show them a cutoff, Meek's cutoff, that would take them straight across the Beltline of Oregon to the Willamette Valley. Well, this sounded great, so they set out in high spirits. But after a month or two of wandering across the high desert of Oregon, they realized that Meek had no idea where he was going or what he was doing. He escaped before they could lynch him, but then, of course, by then, they were committed and they had to work their way through as best they could. So late that summer, a group of them was camped by a stream or river one night, trying to find its way and trying not to starve. Meanwhile, some of the kids were playing in the river. It was autumn, so stream flows would have been low. One of the kids found an interesting yellow pebble, strangely heavy. They discovered that the river was full of these yellow pebbles. They could be removed from the riverbed with a shovel. They were so deep and so plentiful. The kids filled up a blue bucket with them and brought it back to camp, where the adults puzzled over what they might be. The party's blacksmith put one on a metal wagon tire and pounded it. It flattened easily. Well, of course, you know what it was. And you might think that they should have known too, but you have to remember, this was 1845. Until 1849, virtually nobody knew the West had any gold in it at all. The idea that they were looking at a fortune in precious metals never crossed their minds. But they did find that these strange rocks made great sinkers for fishing. The current in the river was too fast for their lines without a sinker. That night, everyone in the party had a big fish dinner, the best food they'd had for a long time. Then they moved on. No, the grown-ups told the kids, you may not bring a bunch of rocks with you. The poor starving oxen have too much weight to pull as it is. So the rocks stayed behind. Well, as you can imagine, 4 years later, when gold was discovered in California, those immigrants, now farming land claims in the Willamette Valley, realized what they'd found. But they had no idea where it was. And since then, despite many efforts, no one has ever rediscovered that spot. Many have tried. In fact, prospectors looking for it found dozens of other lucrative mines in the Blue Mountains. But the Blue Bucket Mine remains undiscovered to this day. As a side note, one man actually made his fortune pretending he knew where it was. This fellow's name was J.L. Adams. He started bragging around Portland in 1861 that he'd found the mine and needed some folks to help him work it. Quickly, he put together a party of 58 men, and off they went. The problem was, it quickly became obvious that he wasn't leading them anywhere in particular. He was just wandering around, dipping his pan in creeks and prospecting. Finally, faced with a hangman's noose, he confessed. He'd wanted to prospect in the Blue Mountains with a large enough party to fend off any hostile Native Americans, and had just made up the whole story as a recruiting scheme. Well, by a narrow majority vote, the volunteers decided not to kill him. Instead, they took everything but his clothes and kicked him out of camp and started for home. Along the way, they hit gold. Lots of it. Not the Blue Bucket Mine, but a big enough strike for everyone to stake a lucrative claim, even Adams, who had been following the party scavenging food from camp leftovers. The strike became a town, and the town became Auburn. The town of Auburn, of course, only lasted for a couple 3 years. It was the quintessential old Oregon mining town, boom town. It's completely gone now. The town of Blue Bucket has yet to be platted. Is it still out there, somewhere in the mountains of northeast Oregon, waiting for a weekend adventurer or elk hunter or fly fisherman to stumble upon it? Have subsequent floodwaters covered all the yellow pebbles with silt, yards deep? Or did some crazy lonely prospector find it and mine it secretly and disappear? We'll probably never know the answer to that question. We'll probably also never know the answer to the question of how much truth there actually is in this story, although the easy answer is probably not much. There are some good reasons to be skeptical of this Frontier Oregon legend, and there are aspects of the Blue Bucket story that make it clear that it's been at the very least augmented over the years. First, if the Nuggets made such great fishing sinkers and the settlers were so hungry, why would they not have brought a few along as fishing tackle? Secondly, why are there no names associated with this story? Sure, people involved could have tried to keep quiet about it, hoping to go back and cash in, but there were 2 or 3 years in which they supposedly had no idea what they'd found. Their unusually difficult Oregon Trail experience would have been a frequent topic of conversation during that time. How is it that they didn't mention these things before? How is it that we don't know who they were? Third, in an era in which people sometimes had to bite coins to make sure they weren't fake, how likely is it that a blacksmith would not recognize the nuggets as gold, even after learning how soft they were by beating them on the wagon tire? Then, too, the idea that none of the children on the wagon train would have sneaked a rock or two into a pocket seems pretty unlikely and very counter to the basic psychology of children. Still, there's probably something real in this story somewhere. A legend like this seldom springs from nothing. But it's been 170 years. Who knows what the real story is? The one thing we do know is that generations of Oregonians have shared and appreciated and wondered about this story around campfires and over dinner tables throughout the years. And we know, too, that people looking for it have made history and would not have done so had it not been for this bit of frontier folklore. As a historical account, it is mighty sketchy. But as a piece of oral folklore, this story's place in state history is assured and well-deserved. Well, that's it for today's episode, and if you're listening for the first time and would like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com, the complete catalog of about 195 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to join the conversation online. The website's also where you'll find full citations for sources to this story, which include, for today's episode, works by Ralph Friedman and William L. Sullivan. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's go grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. This podcast is proud to be part of the Creative Commons, under an attribution share alike license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Well, that's it for today, and coming up tomorrow, we'll be talking about the most spectacular shipwreck in recorded Oregon history, a steam schooner called the J. Marhoefer, which was almost brand new, caught fire and burning stem to stern, piled onto the rocks near Depot Bay. It's the remains of this fiery shipwreck that gave Boiler Bay its name. Look for that story after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the meantime, go fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.